Good morning, brothers and sisters. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you fill each and every one of us with your Holy Spirit, for myself as I speak your words, and also for each of us as we hear. I pray that you help us not only to hear your word, to be able to understand it, be able to put into practice so as to bear fruit, so that we can be blessed by you all the days of our life. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. So today's sermon title is Bearing on Our Body the Marks of Jesus, and for the three main points. Our first main point, it is to love one another. The second main idea is that we should be a new creation in Christ. And the third is that we should sow to reap a harvest in the Lord. So talking about the first main point, about loving one another, we'll first talk about what we should do for others. So looking at Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself or you also may be tempted." So here we can see that what it tells us is if someone is caught in a sin, what we should do is we should not ignore the wrong that they're doing, but talk about how we should restore them gently. And we can see that there are many examples of this in the Bible. For example, we talked about in the Old Testament about Nathan and David, how Nathan was a good friend to David, and after David committed adultery, he did not hold back, but told David exactly what he did wrong. In the same way for Paul, we can see that he also demonstrates his love for the Church of Galatia by writing this letter to the Church of Galatia as well. So the whole point of us in pointing out the wrong of other people, though, is we need to make sure that we're doing this in love because we want them to be able to benefit. So when we do this, we need to make sure that we are merciful to those who doubt, that we snatch them from the fire, and that so that we can be able to save them. This is taken from Jude chapter 1, verse 22 to 23. So let's turn to the book of Jude. There's only one chapter, verse 22 to 23. Okay, Jude 1, 22 to 23 says, "Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupt flesh." And one thing to remember is because we're doing this in love, we want them to be able to turn around so that they will not be destroyed through the error of their ways. So if we look at what it says in James chapter 5, verse 19 to 20. So James chapter 5, verse 19 to 20, it says, "My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins." So why do we say that when we turn someone away from their sins, when we restore them gently, that we should do this in love? It's because we want to do this so as to save them from death, and we want to do this so as to cover over a multitude of sins. But also in doing this, we should also make sure that we do this with complete humility and a gentleness, bearing with one another in love. So if we look at what it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 to 3. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 to 3, it says, "Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So it's important that in all things, what we do with humility, with gentleness, and with love, and talk about bearing with one another, so that we do not give up in speaking to them, even if they reject what we have to say to them, because it is for their own good. And how Paul demonstrates this, when we look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 to 14, we see that specifically how he demonstrated this throughout his letter to the church of Galatia, is he talked about how he talks with a Peter. So in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 to 14, it says, "When Peter came to Antioch, I posted to his face, because he was clearly in the wrong. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles, because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in this hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in front of them all, 'You are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs?'" So here we can see that because Peter is a leader within the church, and he is the apostle to the Jews, because of his hypocrisy and separating himself from the Gentiles and refusing to eat with them because he was afraid to stand up for the truth, he was trying to avoid persecution and avoid suffering for the cross, especially in the face of circumcised believers. You can see that how Paul dealt with this is that he opposed Peter to his face, because what he was doing wasn't only influencing himself, but also influencing the other Jews, and was also leading Barnabas astray. And we can see that in Paul calling out Peter based on his actions, that it was a positive response, because when we look at Peter's letters later on, you can see that he acknowledges that Paul's teachings are correct and are indeed from the Lord. So what else we should do? The second thing that we should do is, if we go back to Galatians chapter 6, is in verse 2 it says, "Carry each other's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ." So we should make sure that we carry each other's burdens to fulfill the law of Christ. So what is the law of Christ? If we look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 to 14. In Galatians chapter 5, 13 to 14, it says, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself." And here we see that how we can be able to carry each other's burdens is we should serve one another in love, and also to love our neighbors as ourselves. So talking about the burdens, it is considered to be a burden in terms of what we tell other people to do if we do not put into practice. Let's look at Matthew chapter 23, where it talks about the teachings of the Pharisees. So in Matthew 23, verse 2 to 3, it says, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must obey them and do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach." So here we can see that what we should know is when we speak the word of truth to other people, we should not only speak the word of God, but we should also make sure that we practice what we preach. And the reason why it is considered to be a burden is the Pharisees, they preach the word of God, but how they don't practice what they preach is when we look at verse 5, it says, "Everything they do is done for men to see." And because everything they do is done for men to see, but not necessarily to obey the word of God, that's why when we look at verse 25, It says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law, Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence." And in verse 28 it says, "In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness." So we can see that Jesus calls out the Pharisees and the teachers of the law by calling them hypocrites, because they're clean on the outside, but full of greed and self-indulgence in the inside. And also because they appear to be righteous on the outside, but they're full of hypocrisy and wickedness inside. And what we can see is in verse 23, it talks about how they give a tenth of their spices, their mint, their dill, and their dew, but they neglect the most important matters of the law, such as justice, mercy, and faithfulness. And what God expects of us is to not only be able to give back to what he has given to us, but also to do the important matters of the law, such as justice, mercy, and faithfulness. And in all of this, you can see that because they do not practice what they preach, and they present a very godly and righteous exterior. In verse 4 of Matthew 23, it says, "They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them." And not only do they do this in burdening other people to obey the law, but not giving them a solution in being able to do that themselves. But also, if we look at verse 13, it says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, hypocrites! You shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those who are trying to." So, how does this relate to the book of Galatians? This relates to the book of Galatians because when we look back in Galatians chapter 6, verse 12 to 13, it talks about how the church of Galatians being influenced by the circumcision group, who are trying to get the church to follow, to gain salvation through circumcision and obeying the law. So if we go back to the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 12 to 13, it says, "Those who want to make a good impression out of you are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised obey the law, yet they want you to be circumcised, that they may boast about their flesh." So here we see that it's the same principle in terms of what the circumcision group is preaching, where they want to make a good outward impression, where they want to boast about the flesh, but they themselves do not obey the law and are not able to fulfill the requirements of the law. But rather, what we should be preaching about is not only about the Word of God, but when we look at Philippians 4:13, what we should be talking about is that everything that we're able to accomplish is not through our own strength, not through how good we look on the outside, but it is through the strength that is from God. So, therefore, what we should do for others is we should encourage one another mutually with our faith and to build each other up. And we can see that this is taken from Romans chapter 1, verse 11 to 12, where Paul tells us to encourage each other mutually. And when he sees the church, not only is he encouraging them mutually with the faith, but also imparting spiritual gifts to them. So this is all through the Holy Spirit. So Romans chapter 1, verse 11 to 12 says, "I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith." So how we can be able to encourage one another and make sure that we don't burden one another is that you should show to other people how God has blessed us and how we can strengthen each other's faith through what we do with the strength that God provides. And if we also look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, You see that he doesn't just teach to church of Rome about encouraging one another, but also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, it says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." So not only should we mutually encourage each other in our faith, but what we should do should also build each other up as well. If we also look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23 to 24. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23 to 24, it says, "Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others." So in everything that we do, especially in our ministry to God, and also in what we preach, we need to make sure that what we say is not just the word of God, but that it is also beneficial to those that we're speaking to. But it is also for their own good, and it is also constructive for them as well. And also in whatever we do, if we look at Hebrews chapter 10, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 to 25, it says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. So here we see that what we should do is that what we do not only encourages one another, but should also spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And all the more as the day is approaching, so that we know that we for sure will receive a reward from God. So also, what else should we do? Is we should remember our leaders. We should consider the outcome of their way of life. And we should also make sure that we imitate their faith. And this is taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 7. Both ways, both for those who are listening to the leaders, for that they should remember the leaders, consider the outcome, and imitate their way of life. But also, as leaders, we should also make sure that the life we live and also what we preach would also demonstrate what kind of outcome we get and that it is, in fact, a good outcome. So, from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, it says, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." So here we can see that if we imitate our leaders, looking at the example of Paul, from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, you can see that he tells us to follow his example as he follows the example of Christ. And not only does he say that, but when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 to 17, he not only tells the church to imitate him, but he also sends Timothy to remind the church about his way of life in Christ. So what is the outcome of his way of life, and why should we follow him? If we look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 to 8, we can see that, yes, he did suffer for the cross, and he endured much hardship. But the outcome for his way of life is that from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 to 8, it says, "I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." So if we look at Paul's way of life, about all the hardships he went through, how he persevered, and stood firm to the end, we can see that he knows for sure that he will get the crown of righteousness. And it's not only for him, but if we also imitate his faith, if we follow the example of Christ, follow Paul who follows the example of Christ, then we too will be able to receive this crown of righteousness as well. So now that we have talked first about what we should do for others in terms of loving one another, next up, okay, one more point is what else we should do or for others, is if we receive instruction from the Word, we should make sure that we share all good things with our instructor. So the reason why we should do this is because all the good things that they receive, they also pass on to us as of first importance, so that we too can be saved, so that we too can be able to receive eternal inheritance. So the same way, anything good that we receive, we should also make sure we share with those, especially with those who preach the Word of God to us and spur us on towards love and good deeds. So next, talking about being a new creation in Christ, what we should do about ourselves. So the first thing we should do is we should watch ourselves, or we also may be tempted, especially when we are turning other people from the incorrectness of their ways. So this is taken from Galatians chapter 6, the latter part of verse 1. So in verse 1 it says, "Brothers, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted." So what should we do to be able to watch ourselves so we won't be tempted? We remember what we talked about through Pastor John's sermon about the full armor of God. We should be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And we should also put on the full armor of God. So when we look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 18, we can see that it is very important that we do put on the full armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, 10 to 18 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground, after you have done everything to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert, and always keep on praying for all the saints." So here we see that it's very important that we should be equipped, especially with the Holy Spirit and with the Word of God, so that we can be able to stand our ground. And also, in terms of watching ourselves so that we won't be tempted, we need to make sure that we take our stand stand for the gospel, and to also hold firmly to it. Or, in the end, if we don't hold firmly to it, we would have believed in vain. So we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 to 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 to 2, Paul says, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain." So here we can see that in terms of what we believe, it's not just from first, but also it should be from first to last. So all the way through, we should continue to hold on to the gospel that we believe and stand firm for it, or we have believed in vain. But we can see that at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he encourages us, because in verse 58, he says, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the word of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." So what he wants us to remember is not only should we stand firm for the gospel, but if what we're doing is in the Lord, that it is not in vain, especially if we give ourselves wholly to the work of the Lord. If we don't let anything move us, and if how we can be able to do this is through his word, so we know his promises, and we also know the consequences of not following it, but also through his Holy Spirit as well, which is the spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline for each of us. So in everything that we're doing, how we can be able to stand firm to the very end is we need to make sure that we know exactly what we're aiming for. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 to 27. How Paul is able to stand firm and what he knows he is fighting for, we also should know what exactly we too are fighting for as well. So from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 to 27 says, "Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets a prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a prize. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." So here we can see that what we're aiming for is we're aiming for a crown. If we don't hold on to this goal, then it's very easy for us to lose sight and to give up. And it's very easy for us, even if we're able to save others, to be disqualified for the prize. So that being said, it is very important that when we preach the gospel, when we try to turn other people from what they're doing wrong, that we ask God, that we should pray to God. We should ask God to enable his servants to speak his words with great boldness and also to have power when we preach as well. Power to be able to put his words into practice. And this is taken from Acts chapter 4, verse 29 to 31. So looking at Acts chapter 4, 29 to 31, looking at the prayer that Peter and John, what they prayed, in verse 29 it says, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So here we too should also ask God to enable us as his servants so that we can be able to speak his words with great boldness as well. And that we too can also have his power, that we can be able to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of Jesus Christ. Because what we should remember about the word of God is that the kingdom of God is not just a matter of talk, but it's also a matter of power as well. The thing is, if we don't believe, there's no way we would ask for this as well. If we truly want to be able to serve God, this is also what we should ask God to give us. It's also his boldness and also his power. And also in terms of watching ourselves, so we won't be tempted, we also need to make sure that we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is taken from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 to 18. So the thing with preaching the word of God, why it's important that we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ is so that we aren't infants, that we aren't tossed back and forth by every wind of teaching, and that we won't fall from our secure position. So if we look at 2 Peter chapter 3, 17 to 18, it says, "Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." So, if we're not filled with God's word and with his Holy Spirit, if we do not continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is also through us being willing to preach his words and put ourselves in these difficult positions, then it's very easy for us to not be on our guard and to be swayed from every wind of teaching and also to fall from our secure position. And here we can see that in terms of the preparation that we need to do to be able to make sure that we ourselves do grow, When we look at what it says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13 to 14, it talks about how in growing the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shouldn't continue to remain infants, but we should progress on to being able to eat solid food, which is through training ourselves to distinguish good from evil and familiarizing ourselves with the teachings about our righteousness. So in Hebrews chapter 5, 13 to 14, it says, anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. The solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So it's not just enough for us to hear the word of God from the servants of God, but it's important for us ourselves to also study the word of God ourselves and to make it our own practice to preach to other people as well, so that we will be challenged, so that we too can be able to continue to mature in our faith. And also, if we also look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, you can see that it's also important that we grow in the grace and also the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is by God's grace that we are who we are, that we are able to overcome, and that we are able to persevere. So for Paul himself, what he says is, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And by his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. So here we see what we can learn from Paul, is we too should say that what we're doing, our service to God, is not by our own strength, not by our own will, but it is by the grace of God that we're able to do what we're doing, and that we are working all the harder to be able to be even better. So next up, what else we should do about ourselves is we also should make sure that we test our own actions. So going back to the book of Galatians, in Galatians chapter 6, in verse 2 it says, carry each other's burdens, and this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. So what do we mean by testing our own actions? Is we should compare what we do with the Word of God and through the moving of the Holy Spirit as well. So we should make sure we do not put out the Spirit's fire, that we do not treat prophecies with contempt, that we should make sure that we test everything, to hold on to the good and to avoid every kind of evil. And this is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 to 22. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 19 to 22, it says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. So here we see that why it's important that we do not put out the Spirit's fire. Because when we look at John chapter 16, verse 8, we see that it talks about how the Holy Spirit convicts the world of our guilt. In John chapter 16, verse 8, it says, when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. And also, when we look at verse 13, it says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. So not only will the Holy Spirit convict the world of guilt, we will know what we are doing wrong, but also the Holy Spirit is also a spirit of truth, and it will also guide us into all truth as well. And also, why should we not treat our prophecies with contempt? Because the prophecies are the word of God. When we look at Psalms chapter 19, verse 11, in Psalms chapter 19, verse 11, what does it say about the word of God? It says, by them is your servant warned, in keeping them there is great reward. So we see that why it's important that we have the word of God. that we do not treat his words with contempt is because it is through his words that we are warned, so we do not do evil, we are not destroyed in our ways. And in keeping them, it also sets out there is great reward. Also, if we look at Psalms 119, verse 105, you can see that God's words is a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. Psalms 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. So that's why it's important that we have the word of God to lead us and guide us in the way that we should go. And also, in testing our own actions in accordance with the word of God, that's how we can be able to realize that it is not through our own power that we're able to accomplish what we're able to accomplish. When we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 to 31, we see that it is all through God, all through Jesus Christ, that we're able to have righteousness, holiness, and redemption. And that if we boast, we do not boast about ourselves, we should boast in the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 30 says, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boast in the Lord. So going back to Galatians chapter 6, you can see that when it talks about how we should boast in the Lord, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 13 to 14, what Paul says is, not even those who are circumcised obey the law, yet they want you to be circumcised, that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. So here we see that what Paul talks about is we should not boast about our flesh, because apart from God we can do nothing. But rather we should boast in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, about how through God and through Jesus Christ we are able to be crucified to the world, and the world is able to be crucified to us as well, instead of our own flesh. And finally, what else should we do about ourselves is we should make sure that we carry our own load, which is talked about in verse 5. So how can we be able to carry our own load? We need to make sure that we train ourselves to be godly, because godliness has value for all things, and it holds promise both in the present and also in the future. And this is talked about in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. So let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, where it says, have nothing to do with godless men and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. So just like before we talk about with Hebrews chapter 5, 13 to 14, talks about how we should train ourselves to become mature, to be able to eat solid food, to be able to distinguish good from evil. And the same way, just as how a runner trains himself to be able to run the race and be able to win, we need to also train ourselves to be godly so that we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by every teaching. And what else we should do is, this is from 1 Timothy 4:16, is we should watch our life and doctrine closely. We should make sure that we persevere in them, because if we do, we will save both ourselves and our hearers. Okay, so in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, it says, watch your life and doctrine closely, persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. So in watching our life and doctrine, making sure that they align, that's how we can also be able to carry our own loads. If we also look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, how we can be able to carry our own load, and what we should tell other people about how they too can carry their own load, is making sure that we are crucified with Christ and that it is Christ who lives in us. Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So the important thing is we need to allow Christ to have control over our life, to live in us. And that's why in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, Paul talks about, here he says, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." So here you see that he talks about how we should be crucified, the world should be crucified to us, not we to the world, so that the world and our sinful nature does not control us. And through that, in verse 15, it says, "Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. But what counts is a new creation. If we allow Christ to live in us, that's how we can be a new creation in Christ. And if we're a new creation in Christ," in verse 17, "that's how we can be able to bear on our bodies the mark of Jesus. If we're not, if we don't allow Christ to live in us, then we won't be able to bear on our bodies on the mark of Jesus." And then talking about the last point, about how we can be able to sow to reap a harvest, we should know that we what we would get for our actions. So looking at looking here, it says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. We reap what we sow. Those who sow to please their sinful nature will reap destruction, and those who sow to please the Spirit will reap eternal life." And this is taken from verse 7 and 8 of Galatians. So that being said, if we look at verse 9, he says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." So how can we make sure that we do not become weary in doing good? If we look at what it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 to 3, it talks about how we should fix our eyes on Jesus. He is the example that we should be fixing our eyes on. He is the author and perfecter of our faith, and for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So, did Jesus have to suffer during his life on earth? And the answer is yes. But he continued to endure to the very end. He was able to sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. So the same way for us, if we fix our eyes on him, we too will not lose sight of our goal. And we should not grow weary, but we should be strengthened by God. So remember what we talked about in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. From the example of Paul, you can see that he fixed his eyes on Jesus. And what he got was a crown of righteousness. When we look at Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, you can see that for Peter, he talks about the crown of glory. And when we look at James chapter 1, verse 12, you can see that James talks about the crown of life. And John also talks about the crown of life in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. So if we fix our eyes on Jesus, we can see that this is what we will be able to receive. And just a reminder of what we talked about last week, Pastor John talked about in Revelation chapter 2, 26 to 28, where it talks about how we receive authority over the nations. We receive the morning star. If we're willing to overcome and to do God's will to the very end. And how everything that we lose, you get 100 times what we have lost, and we also get the authority to judge as well. So that being said, if we look at verse 10 of Galatians, it says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. We should continue to spur one another on toward love and good deeds, especially since we have this blessed hope." So today we have talked about what we should do for others in terms of loving one another. We've talked about what we should do about ourselves in terms of being a new creation in Christ. And we've also talked about the reward that we get in the end. How we should continue to fix our eyes on Jesus and not to grow weary and to lose heart, so that we can be able to sow to reap a harvest of eternal life and not a harvest of destruction. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to each of us today. I pray that you help us so that we can be able to demonstrate your love to each one. to everybody, that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit and with your word, that we can be able to boldly proclaim your words, that we can be able to be filled with your spirit and power, so that we too can be able to demonstrate you living through our lives, so that in the end we can be richly rewarded by you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.